But anyway, I kept having when I first. He didn't get his nap out. See, he couldn't breathe. He couldn't breathe through his nose. His nose was stopped up.
Well, we didn't get our nap out last night either.
He's a beautiful child. He really is a beautiful child.
And I have a great family.
You do. You really do. You're just kind of lucky. Everybody's not that lucky.
I know. I know. I feel it.
You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
All around you. But you know, it's so easy for young people to give up on marriage.
Right.
You're going to have these little conflicts and all kinds of disagreements. I mean, two people, male or female, are not going to get along well in a house all the time. But now, when I was, you know, you just rolled your sleeves up and fought it out, as at least two old women were talking, and one of them says, did you ever think about divorcing your husband? She says, no, but I thought about killing him a lot of times. And that is typical of our generation, you know. But this is just so easy. No-fault divorce, you know, where there's no children and no contest. They just walk in and sign a paper and they're through. Whereas I got news for them. Divorce, somehow or another, it has effect on them. It really does. But they don't realize at the time. They just want to get rid of the whole responsibility. But it's, they can't go back. They can't go back to where they were. That's impossible. So I always advise mine, you stay with him, fight it out, and give it at least a year's trial. And if there's no way, if he hits you or beats you, well, all right, you know. But otherwise, you work these problems out. And then they'd say, well, I just have fallen out of love with him. I said, look, marriage is not one big date, you know. After all, falling out of love, you can learn to love, and the companionship of marriage is not a big romantic date. You couldn't sustain that no way in the world. A human being couldn't sustain that for 50 years. So I tried to explain to him what marriage and companionship and love was all about, because they really all did have this little romantic idea that that's the way it was going to be, and it's not that way. But, you know, if I just put out my shingle.
Uh-huh, that's right. I think you should go into business as a shrink. A marriage counselor.
I had a little, do you remember India, Taylor, Rosemary's friend, India, they were brought up together.
Some.
She has three of the most beautiful girls out of the class. They weren't any boys. And they've moved back to Cockwood now, and he is, Levon's real smart, but anyway, he's one of the vice presidents of, he is the vice president of that People's Bank. Well, India married when she was about 15 years old, and she had these girls like that. Well, she's had a terrible time with her marriage, but she stayed with it, and has a very devoted husband, but he's also a very demanding husband, but that's all right. She works with them that were in that. So, one of them got pregnant. You see, you got to give girls enough freedom and teach them what life's all about, and that it's really bad business to go to bed and have sex before marriage, because you're the one that's going to suffer for it. The boy, of course, it's not true, they're not scot-free. I mean, it ruined many a career. But anyway, they were very protective, and especially the father of these three girls, and she was too. They just didn't know what life was all about. In a way that, I don't mean they were brought up in a prison or anything, but anyway, this girl, having no experience with men whatsoever, this ne'er-do-well, just crook, bad checks, drinking, just all kind of things, but very good looking and charming and much older than she was, got her pregnant. Well, the father wouldn't speak to her, but just put her out, and I mean, he didn't have anything to do with her until until she finally divorced her husband. And which I thought, you know, I don't care what your children know, darn, they're yours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They didn't ask to come here, so I had no way in the world I'm going to turn my back on my children. But anyway, he did. The mother didn't. India did. But she called this girl now, has a little girl, named Carl. I mean, how many eligible men are there in Carl? And this girl has got a little girl about 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere, 8 or 9, somewhere. And she's working and taking care of that child, has a little apartment. And she's divorced her husband, doesn't have anything to do with him anymore, which should have done a long time ago. Well, India called me up, and she's on my committee about the city stuff. Anyway, she said, and so she feels close to me because of Rosemary and also Ada. She and Ada are real good friends. She said, Miss Juanita, I want to ask a big favor of you. I said, well, name it. If it doesn't cost anything, I'll try to do it. She said, well, said, you know, Lama, that's this girl's name. I don't really know her. I don't even know if I'd know if I were to see her, except they all look alike. They're all beautiful girls, and very well-mannered and sweet girls. She said, she named her friend, which I don't even know her, and said, Would you counsel with her, with them, the two girls? I said, counsel with them about what? She said, well, she won't listen to me. She said, you know, I've heard you say that young folks would tell you things and all, they wouldn't pay attention to the mothers. I said, oh, this is very true. And mothers don't know anything, you know. They got to get older before they realize their mother's pretty smart. And said, they want boyfriends and they don't know how to get them and they don't know how to act when they do, and Lana this and Lana that. Lana needs to lose weight and she's kind of a whining type of thing, and said, I thought you could alleviate all this. I said, you must think I'm some kind of miracle worker. I said, now, Andy, I'd be glad. She said, well, those girls are just dying to talk to you because they knew that you used to be a house mother with boys. They always think I know everything because I was with boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so do know quite a bit. Anyhow, I said, yeah, I'd be glad to talk to them anytime. Well, that's been about 2 weeks ago. Well, I've been so busy celebrating my 80th birthday, I haven't had time. But I said, well, Enda, you might be surprised how I'd counsel with them. And I said, now I won't tell you something. I cannot, there's no way that I can put sex appeal in that girl. And there's no way, I said, she can have a surface, be attractive on the surface, but unless she's got that quality that calls a man, I said, I can't put that in her, which I think is the problem. Have you ever seen some real pretty girls that had no sex appeal? That's a peculiar thing, isn't it?
Not that peculiar, the advertisements are filled with them. There are all these perfect looking women that
yeah.
just make me cold.
Yeah, it's just always real strange.
It's also, I think, something that Southern beauties fall into a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's your experience or not.
Yeah, it is.
They
think that beauty will just take them anywhere.
Too perfect.
But boy, it takes more than that. It takes more than that. And most of the time, it'll turn a man off. I mean, I can't live up to all that, you know. I can't live up to all that. But a girl, you either got it or you don't. Now, I can tell her the trappings of being attractive and how to attract a man. And if she wants to practice it, she might. But as I say, you either got it or you don't. As far as I'm concerned. Let's go.
Let's go eat.
Time to eat. I got to go wash my hands.